Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Mizmor Pei Aleph, the 81st psalm in the book of Tehillim. The general theme of this Mizmor seems to be the rebuke of Hashem, listening to Hashem, and we'll see that one of the implements or vehicles of this is the shofar. Let's take a quick look in this Mizmor. Our Mizmor is comprised of 17 psukim and is divided into two basic sections. The first pasuk is the Koteves, its introduction, which reads Lamnatzeach ala Gittis laAsaf. This is on the Gittis, which is perhaps a musical instrument for Asaf. Again, this is really moving towards the end of the Asaf section in the Sefer of Tehillim. This is one of the ones attributed to Asaf himself. And the sections run as follows. There are different ways of looking at this, but the way that the Da'at Mikra divides it, Rav Amos Chacham is the first four or five psukim, Beis to Vav, are a call to cry out to Hashem, in the, like the ways of old. And there onwards, Zion to Yud Zion, that is 7 to 17, the idea is a rebuke to Israel for not following Hashem's laws. There are different ways of looking at it, just in terms of fair, the Malbim usually divides the Mizmor based on the word Sela. Sela is usually an indicator that there's a break between sections. That appears at the end of Pasuk Ches, where the sections would be reconfigured. Be it as it may, in terms of the actual central themes, the Mizmor is not actually speaking to Hashem. So unlike many of the other Mizmorei Tehillim, where the Meshorer, the narrator, is turning towards God and asking, petitioning, thanking, beseeching, whatever it is that the Meshorer is doing, this one is actually not directed to God. It is really actually directed, the object of this Tehillim is the people of Israel. And the Meshorer speaks to them, and certainly in the second section, almost on behalf of God. So the Meshorer is sort of, so to speak, representing Hashem when speaking to the people. In the first section, he is trying to encourage them and cajole them to call out to Hashem, to blow the shofar of Teshuvah, like they were commanded in the days of Egypt. In the second section, he reminds them that when their ancestors actually did leave Egypt, how they were commanded to follow him, not to serve Avodah Zarah, not to serve other powers or other forces in this world. And then he goes on to rebuke them that they didn't listen to Hashem, and how Hashem will ultimately have to remove his hashkacha, his divine providence from them because of the lifestyle they have chosen. That's the general overview of the theme. One theme which seems to be predominant in terms of the words and catchphrases is listening. Listening is framed in actually in four separate phrases throughout this Mizmor. So at the end of Pasuk Vav, it says, Svas lo yadati eshva. When you were in Egypt, there was this language which I didn't understand, I couldn't hear. I mean, Pasuk Tes, Shema ami va'irabach, listen my nation and I will testify of you or to you. Pasuk Yud Beis, V'lo shama ami lakoli, but my nation didn't listen to my voice. And finally, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Lu ami shomeali, if only my nation were to listen to me. There's a progression over here. The beginning it was when Israel were taken out of Egypt, they did not know the language. Then Hashem said, please listen to my language. We didn't listen to the language, and Hashem beseeches us, if only we were to listen to Hashem and to his commandments and his wise style of life. That seems to be the general flow, and everything else seems to fit into these between these four catchphrases. It is interesting to notice that the shofar we are meant to hear is really meant to trigger these memories. It's almost as if this Mizmor is providing us the opportunity of what we're supposed to be thinking about when listening to shofar. We're supposed to be thinking about Egypt. We're supposed to be thinking about how Hashem wanted us to listen to him. In fact, in the Sivos Shalom comments, the word shofar itself is an acronym of four words, which are Shore, Pore, Rosh, Ra'ala'ana. And that means to say that's actually the psukim in Ditzavim, talking about the person who's sitting in the crowd when Hashem is speaking and is not really interested. He's kind of thinking his own thoughts. He's listening to Hashem and he says, yeah, well, that's all very nice, and that sounds, you know, like a nice tradition and culture and everything, but I'll do my own thing, thank you very much. That's what's called a shore poresh v'la'ana, a person who is sort of this bitter weed, which is planting negativity. And so that refers to the shofar. The shofar is supposed to uproot that. It's supposed to call a person, is to wake the person up from such thought processes and be able to hear properly. And that's what this Mizmor seems to be addressing. In terms of the events behind this Mizmor, it seems clear that there's two main events which are being referred to. The one is Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt, and the other one is Shofar. So the Radak says that this is really about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the shofar is meant to remind us on Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, the rules and the codes of Yetzias Mitzrayim at that point in time. And in fact, the Malbim says this was Husad by Rosh Hashanah. It was the main focus, is this is meant to be said on Rosh Hashanah, and we're just remembering, like the Radak says, Yetzias Mitzrayim. What is interesting is try to bridge the two of these. How do these two ideas fit together? How does Shofar and Rosh Hashanah relate to Yetzias Mitzrayim? After all, Rosh Hashanah itself is Zecher, it's the day of creation of humankind, not Yetzias Mitzrayim, like the revelation of Pesach, the redemption of Pesach, or the revelation of Sinai at Shavuos, or the tabernacles on Sukkot. It doesn't seem to historically relate directly to Yetzias Mitzrayim in any way, shape, or form. It's much more universal than the particularistic salvation of the nation of Israel. So one idea is that Rav Hirsch points out. Rav Hirsch in this Mizmor says a very fascinating insight, and that is there's a difference between freedom from and freedom to. What Hashem is saying is that I provide you freedom from. You were no longer subjugated to Egypt. You were no longer on somebody else's timetable. You no longer had to listen to the whims and wills of your taskmasters. I took you away from that. That was freedom from. But ultimately, that's not the real freedom. Freedom is only when you have the freedom to. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You're not subjugated to the lusts and whims of your internal masters, your desires, your lusts, your own pulls and pushes, whether it be physically or egotistically in life. And therefore, that's what he says, Kapov midud ta'avarna, your hands are taken from the urn, taken from the kettle. Being able to control yourself in life is part of it. That's why he says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Amalcha Meretz Mitzrayim, I am God who took you out of Egypt, Harchev Picho V'Amaleu, open your mouth, and I will fill it. Meaning to say, leaving Egypt was only half of the job. The rest of the job is left up to you. Are you going to live a lifestyle where you have the freedom to live a life worth living? Or are you just escaping? It's interesting. I once saw that the Talalei Chaim suggests that today's society, today's Western society, the paramount expression of society is the greatest amount of freedom to, freedom from. Meaning to say, what does society today treasure? Is a person who has enough money to be able to do whatever they want and nobody has to tell them what they need to do. That's kind of like having made it, is being able to do what you want, having enough wherewithal to do that. But that's still just freedom from anybody telling you what to do. Do you have the freedom to do something? Do you know why you're living your life? Is there a meaning? Is there a mission? Is there a goal? That's part of the freedom too. And what this Mizmor is saying is, I took you out of Egypt, but I gave you the laws. You got out of Egypt, but you forgot the laws. That's what this Mizmor seems to be saying as well. There's another point over here, and that is the Rishna, Rabbi Yisrael of Rishon, Rabbi Yisrael Friedman, one of the great scions of the Hasidic movement, who was the sire of many of the other Hasidus. He lived in the early 1800s, said a remarkable thing. Why is it that on the Kiddush of Rosh Hashanah we say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why is it in the davening of Rosh Hashanah we say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, which seems to be very much reminiscent of this Mizmor itself? And he explains that it's because at Kriyas Yamsov, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a condition with the Red Sea. And he said, look, I know everything's going to go according to the natural laws which I instituted. However, there's going to be a few exceptions. There's going to be a few moments in history where I'm going to ask you to not abide by the laws of gravity, not abide by the laws of thermodynamics. So the sea said, well, how do we know when it's going to be? So this is when these neshamas, and he shows them, a snapshot of the neshamas of Israel who are going to arrive at the banks of Yamsuf in many years' time. And when they come, you will split. So 2,448 years later, Bnei Yisrael arrive at the banks of the Yamsuf, and Hashem says, now it's time to split. And the sea said, sorry, don't look the same. They look at the sins. Look how tired they are. Look how imperfect they are after having gone through Golus Mitzrayim. This wasn't the deal. And Kosh Baruch Hu, it says, The Midrash says, what is a meruach hapecha? It doesn't mean just to say that he breathed his breath, but his anger, the af of Hashem, caused the sea to split. And that's so significant because HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially said to the sea, even though they're not perfect, split the sea. And that's what happens on Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what we're saying is, Eichel Yetzias Mitzrayim is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember us in turn, like you demanded us of us when we left Egypt to abide by your laws, but also remember that in Egypt we weren't perfect. Please allow us the flexibility. That's the Eichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is perhaps the flip side of this Mizmor. In terms of the places in our davening that this appears, it should be noticed that this is a Shir Shel Yom of every Thursday. Every Thursday we say this. It's about Din, about the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment in the world, something which we hear very, very frequently. The Vilna Gaon also pointed out that this is to be said on Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, in fact on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah if it is not on Friday, based on the Gemara in Sukkot Nun Hayam and Aleph. And in Nusach Sfardi it is to be said on Rosh Hashanah itself. It is also worth noting that Pasuk Dalet, Tikul B'Chodesh Ofar B'Kesel Yom Chagenu, appears in the Kiddush of Rosh Hashanah, the night before the Amidah on Rosh Hashanah, and appears in Shofros. Pasuk Hay in this Mizmor also appears at the beginning of Shofros, and that Pasuk goes, that also appears in the Rosh Hashanah davening as well. And there's a few others, like for instance, Pasuk Yud Aleph appears in the Pesukei Dezimra. We say this Pasuk every day. Open your mouth and I will fill it. So many, many connections to the Tefillah. In terms of a Pasuk and a word in the spotlight, the famous Pasuk Tikul B'Chodesh Shofar B'Kesel Yom Chagenu is a very famous Pasuk that you should blow on the month of the Shofar, on the day of Bekese, on the covering of the day of your festival. What does this refer to? The Malbim says classically, based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that this refers to Rosh Hashanah because it's the day when Bekese, when the moon is in fact covered, it's the beginning of the month, and it's the festival that's referring to Rosh Hashanah. And then Surah Tzion does point out that there's another way of reading this, that instead of reading the word Bekese as being covered, it could also be read, if you flipped the hay with an aleph, it would be Bekisei. It's called Le Yom Kisei Yavoi. It's referring to the day of the throne. Of course, that refers to Rosh Hashanah because it's the day in which Hashem is enthroned, where we re-coronate Hashem over every limb of our body and over all of us, over the world once again. The Gemara in Beitza does point out an interesting point, and that is that the Torah never really explicitly says that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. The Torah does say that it is Yom Teruah, a day of blowing, but does not talk about it as a day of judgment. Where do we get that from? So Rav Tachlifo Achud Ravanai Chozah tells us in the Gemara in Beitza, Dav Tes Zayinam Aleph, that this is the reason it is because how do we know that all the food and the mezonos and the paranos of a person are set at Rosh Hashanah? Rabbi Abahu explains because Tikul B'Chodesh Shofar B'Kesel Yom Chagenu, Eizehu Chag Shehachodesh Miskaseh Boy. What Chag? What festival is it when the moon is covered? There's only one on the first of the month. Haviyayim is Rosh Hashanah. That's Rosh Hashanah. And what does it say? Ki Choik LiYisrael Hu. The next pasuk is it is a statute to the nation of Israel. Mishpat LeElokei Yaakov. It's a judgment to the gods of Israel, of Yaakov. Meaning to say, today is a judgment day. That's how we know that Rosh Hashanah is a judgment day based on our Mizmor in Tehillim, pasuk Dalet and pasuk Hay. We're going to close with the last pasuk. We're going to look at pasuk Tezvov, where it says, "Lu ami shomei ali Yisrael bidrochai yahaleichun." Would it be if only my people would listen to me and follow my paths? And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Hem Abayis tells us that Hakadosh Baruch Hu, when it says "Imbecho kosai talechu," if you go in my statutes, he says actually the Gemara explains, "Ein im elo loshon tachanunim." Hashem is begging us. He's saying, I wish you'd do the right thing. I wish you'd listen to me. I wish I wouldn't have to punish you. I want you to succeed. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be saying. And that's what he says over here. If only my people would follow me, then kimat avayim achniyav, al tzarem ashev yodi. Hashem says, I'll take care of the enemies. Mesaneh Hashem yichachar shulav yitom le'olam, I'd be with them forever. V'yachaleu chimechelev chitom, itzur dvash, aspiyako. I'd give them sustenance, I'd feed them like in the desert, I'd give them honey and water and wheat. I would make them satiated, but they don't. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm on your side. Just work with me a little bit, and we can tango. We can succeed together, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is not the judge waiting for us to fail. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on our team waiting for us to succeed. That's what the Mizmor seems to be saying. Meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.